Pakistan's political crisis deepens. The prime minister's opponents push to remove him from office. But Imran Khan blames a foreign conspiracy. How did Pakistan get to this point? And what will the fallout mean for the country? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. It's one of the biggest tests in the career of former cricket star turned Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan. He tried to delay a vote in Parliament to oust him, but his opponents say the tide's been turning against him for some time. MPs met to debate his fate after the Supreme Court ruled Khan's attempt to dissolve Parliament and call new elections was unconstitutional. Opposition members accuse him of failing to root out corruption and fix the struggling economy. But Khan says there's a U.S.-backed conspiracy to remove him. He hasn't provided any evidence, and Washington denies the allegations. Khan is refusing to recognize an opposition government and has urged his supporters to protest. Osama bin Javed has more from the capital, Islamabad.
Never a dull moment, they say, in Pakistan's politics. An assembly, which was dissolved by the president, held its session. The parliament members who were part of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, Imran Khan's government, are all set to vote against him. And a session which was ordered to have taken place and continue only with an agenda of a vote seems to be taking a long time. We've been speaking to politicians from both the government and the opposition. This impetus of trying to oust Imran Khan remains a foreign conspiracy. And what opposition MPs say is that that's a joke.
That this joke cannot be carried on. There's only one decision that there is a constitutional no confidence in the parliament against this, against the prime minister, according to the democratic norms and rules and constitution. And the only thing that Imran Khan has to face today is the no confidence voting and to be ousted by vote, by democracy in Pakistan.
Despite the opposition benches insisting, the government is holding its fort. It's saying that this is an issue which the opposition told the court that it did not debate. It did not get a chance to debate the vote on the floor of the House. And here are government MPs giving them a chance to raise their opinions and discuss it, why Imran Khan needs to go.
Their narrative that we didn't allow the debate to happen. They didn't want a debate. They wanted to hurry the vote because their main fear is the following. If the Supreme Court, the current case, which is on Article 63A, if they decide under Article 63.1A that yes, members who have decided not to vote with Khan are therefore defectors in advance of the vote, then what happens to them? So before the Supreme Court judgment comes, they're trying to rush the vote.
And while this debate goes on in the National Assembly, the reason Pakistan is here is because in the last 3.5 years, all the tall promises that were made during the campaign when Imran Khan came to power have not been fulfilled. There is rising inflation, the rupee is losing its value, the country's economy seems to be spiraling downwards, and more importantly, the powerful military establishment in Pakistan seems to be no longer supporting Imran Khan, which the accusation from the opposition is that Imran Khan only came to power with their backing and they are now playing a neutral role. All eyes on this important and historic session of the National Assembly, and according to court orders, before this session is over, there has to be a vote of no confidence and there must be a new leader of the House, and that is going to be decided once the vote takes place. For Inside Story, I'm Osama bin Javed.
All right, let's take a look at how Imran Khan got to this point. The cost of living is high in Pakistan, with food prices up by 23% since the beginning of the pandemic. Opposition parties blame Khan for the economic turmoil and growing foreign debt. Pressure came to a head when Imran Khan's close ally, the Mutahida Qaumi Movement Party, quit his government and switched sides before the no-confidence vote, reducing his majority in the assembly. His relationship with the army is also shaky, with differences over foreign policy decisions. All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests. In Rawalpindi in Pakistan, Saira Asad, adjunct assistant professor at Rifa International University. In London, Aisha Siddiqa, senior fellow in the Department of War Studies at King's College London. And in Washington, D.C., Farahnaz Ispahani, writer and former member of the National Assembly of Pakistan, A warm welcome to you all. Thanks so much for joining us today on Inside Story. Saira, let me start with you today. Just how volatile is the political situation in Pakistan right now?
Thank you for having me. Right now, there's political upheaval is going on in Pakistan. At present, the vote of no confidence, our prime minister is facing that. Earlier, a prime minister of Pakistan, suggested president of Pakistan to dissolve the National Assembly, but that the decision has been nullified by the Supreme Court of Pakistan yesterday, and today they are facing the vote of no confidence, and we are looking forward how it's going to work out for that. But on the factual ground, we can see that the opposition is having the desired number of votes, and we are just looking forward how it's going to be move about.
Farah Naza, how long has the tide been turning against Imran Khan?
Well, most of us who consider ourselves Democrats would say right from the beginning, we consider Mr. Khan not to be the elected prime minister of Pakistan. He's always been referred to as a selected prime minister of Pakistan because he was brought in by the aid of the military establishment. But however, the opposition parties have, for the sake of democracy, played ball, remained in the game. And where we are today is literally just democracy in work. The former prime minister didn't have the votes. He tried to violate the constitution. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court declared that Mr. Khan's actions were unconstitutional and demanded that a vote of no confidence be carried out in parliament. And that is what we are watching right now.
Aisha, how much tension is there right now between Imran Khan and the military?
See, there are no clear answers to your question, but if I could just add one more piece of information, what we've seen this morning, and, it's this whole game of no confidence, motion against the prime minister and the way Imran Khan government is trying to stop it, delay it, postpone the action, or postpone the inevitable, against its government, is, right now they're filibustering it. They're filibustering in the parliament. They're trying to delay it. On the surface of it, we see that there is a tension between military and Imran Khan, which is the reason that they seem to have agreed to play the role of a neutral in politics, where they didn't do, what they hadn't done in 2018 elections. But, when I look at it, there is a very uncomfortable feeling. I mean, don't ask me for evidence, but there's an uncomfortable feeling that there are elements within the military within which continue to support Khan. And the reason I say that no evidence, because you can't produce such evidence, but when we compare the way Khan, apparently the army chief no longer supports him, supports his actions. But in case of previous governments who had lost faith with the military or who who had a tense relationship with the military, mm-hmm. they were treated much worse. I mean, there would be so much propaganda against them. Compare it with what Khan is facing at the moment. There's hardly any propaganda against him. A few stories here and there of possible corruption, involvement in corruption, his wife's, the first lady's involvement in corruption, but nothing really as substantial mm-hmm. as what Nawaz Sharif faced or the People's Party government faced, which makes me imagine or think that perhaps there is still some support within the military definitely, he was a popular candidate with the military. Ideologically, they couldn't have been more aligned with any political leader than they are with Imran Khan. Mm.
Saira, I want to take a step back and look at the economic situation right now in Pakistan. On Thursday, the Pakistani rupee fell to an all-time low against the U.S. dollar. But on Friday, markets opened on a positive note because there was this hope that the political crisis might be ending soon. How much worse could the economic situation get in Pakistan if this political crisis is not resolved soon?
Actually, we can't say that. That's all because of the current political disturbances. When the last government went, the Pakistan was facing, a turmoil, economic turmoil at that time also. Right now, it has just emerged, and the opposition has taken a strict stance. They have just fought 1 point of inflation. And yes, there is, prices, there are a lot of, we can see that a lot of prices are raised in everything. That we can see the petrol prices and the daily, necessities are they are very, very expensive for a common man to afford that all. But it is going to be like the same, because the stability will come with the passage of time. Pakistan needs a stable economic plan at that movement, because it's political disturbance has made again more difficult for Pakistan to survive. So we are looking forward for a smooth functioning of a government, and we are looking forward for the early elections because we need a stable government. When we look at the past, we can see that the Pakistan always faced these type of political disturbances. Only three prime ministers of Pakistan were able to complete 4 years term, not even 5 years term, in which we can see that Yusuf Reza Gilani and Nawaz Sharif in 2013 to 2017, and now Imran Khan, he has just completed his fifth year. The same pattern is being implemented again and again. In the last year, it seems like that the last year the other political parties just grouped together and just make a smooth path for their upcoming elections. So it seems like that, by looking at the current atmosphere, the political atmosphere, that the early elections are going to be held in Pakistan. I think so that is going to be the main solution of the crisis. And today,
Saira, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you bring up the topic of potentially early elections, and I do want to ask Farahnaz about that. Farahnaz, what's the earliest that elections could happen going forward?
Well, I think a reason why Mr. Imran Khan has done a lot of these dramatics is he wants early elections. He wants to be seen as the martyr, thrown out of office, and then he expects that his followers will turn up and vote him into office again. But what I'm reading at the moment is if he continues down this path of ignoring the Supreme Court ruling and of behaving in this undemocratic, autocratic way, I think we may end up with some kind of a technocratic government that may remain for much longer. Because let's be honest, what he has done to the economy of Pakistan, I was recently in Pakistan, I have never seen the cost of living and the cost for people who are not sitting in the capital of Islamabad or Pindi, the people who are living in Karachi and in the interior of Sindh, etc. It's quite horrendous. It is terrifying. What he has done to Pakistan's foreign policy, the U.S. has been our biggest aid giver. Now he's accused the U.S. of these conspiracy theories of trying to remove him from office and these secret ciphers, which nobody has seen. He has created a political diplomatic mm-hmm. and economic crisis, the likes of which we have never seen. So you asked me about early elections. If he continues down this path, he doesn't accept the ruling of the Supreme Court today mm-hmm. and allows the opposition. You know, what Dr. Sarah just said was so incorrect, and many people don't realize this. Pakistan is not a presidential system. In a parliamentary democracy, the minute the opposition has the numbers, they can topple any government. It happens in the UK, it happens anywhere. That's what a vote of no confidence is about. So no government comes in with a term of 5 years. This is something where I feel people don't understand the Pakistani system of government. Mm. So to early elections, I'm skeptical. But let's wait and see.
Aisha, you heard Farah Nazir talk about this conspiracy that Imran Khan is talking about. He's been blaming the U.S. for a conspiracy to get him unseated. Of course, the U.S. denies this. Does the public in Pakistan believe this?
Okay, again, let me go back to a couple of things, questions you'd ask the other speakers. Firstly, economy had started to recover until Pakistan was recently starting this year hit by inflation, and very bad inflation at that. January, it was 11%. Today, it is 15.1%. And that inflation really hits people. The other thing is that even if elections are to be held, he has promised 90 days, but due to technical structural reasons, they can't be held in 90 days. Because once the Election Commission of Pakistan announces elections, it needs a minimum of 4 to 5 months to allow for delimitation of constituencies. There are new districts that have been made by Imran Khan government. And if you go by the 2017 Election Act, which was consolidating all the rules that existed so far on election, then it seems very clear that nothing before 5 to 6 months. Yes, I mean, the other option, of course, is that somehow a national government is installed. But the question is, who will install the government? I mean, the parliamentary procedures do not allow for it. So the no confidence motion has to go through. I mean, Imran Khan really has to wreck the country to ensure that, you know, or force military's hand. Military itself, I mean, there have been now judgments, Supreme Court judgments, against emergencies by the military, highlighting that anyone who subverts the constitution is a traitor. Mm-hmm. So that's another ball game, totally another thing. Now, to your question about what happens with, you know, with this conspiracy, you know, the simple answer to that is that this conspiracy is popular among on the streets. And one of the reasons that he is constantly referring to the conspiracy, American conspiracy, is these two reasons. One, increases popularity amongst people. Mm-hmm. And secondly, increases popularity amongst the first and second tier military officers. Mm.
Aisha, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're just starting to run out of time. Saira, let me ask you, what do you expect that Imran Khan's next move might be?
We can see that by the number of oppositions declaring that they have 176 seats in the National Assembly. And after that, definitely he is going to declare the next election. By the approval of the National Assembly, if they are going to approve him as a prime minister for the last term till the the next election, he can stay there. Otherwise, he will have to leave the seat, and he has to appoint another at his place to run the country. So at the moment, it is very difficult to say what is going to happen. It is all dependent, and we are just looking at the current scenario. What is going to happen?
Farah Naz, do you think that we might see a concerted effort from here on out to try and improve Pakistan's relationship with the U.S.? Is that something that's in the cards going forward?
Well, you know, ever since Pakistan was founded, our founder, like Turkey's founder, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, our founder, Mr. Jinnah, the first thing he did was send someone to Washington, D.C., because he understood, even though we were situated all the way in South Asia, that the U.S. relationship was what we needed. Unlike India and its relationship with Russia and wanting to be non-aligned, Pakistan always wanted to be aligned with the U.S. By that, I mean Pakistan's military and most of Pakistan's governments. That is not the feeling in the street, but I do believe that the permanent establishment in Pakistan does understand that they have to rescue the relationship, not just with the US, but with a lot of European countries who have really become quite tired of this drama, and they realize they don't want an unstable Pakistan. So let's see going forward. I hope Mr. Khan today accepts the vote and goes willingly. If he doesn't, I'm afraid there might be some other measures which may be undemocratic.
Aisha, Imran Khan has said that he refuses to recognize an opposition government, and he has also urged his supporters to come out and protest. Do you think that his supporters are going to be coming out onto the streets and staging protests in the days ahead?
I don't think that he's going to get hundreds and thousands of people out on the streets, not one consolidated protest. But definitely what I can see is much more, chaos within the society. I mean, already the society is very divided. His supporters are extremely aggressive. I mean, recently we saw his MPAs, his member of provincial assembly in Sindh, hanging effigies of opposition party leaders. How horrible was the sight? I mean, how horrible is this idea? I mean, and they're so aggressive. They're ready to punish, physically punish opposition leaders. In London itself, where you have rule of law, in the last 1 week, there were at least two attacks, physical attacks on non-Nawaz Sharif. And in one of the attacks, his guards were seriously injured. And this is by PTI supporters. So just imagine what they are capable of doing in Pakistan. I don't think he has ever trained his party to do politics. Protests of that kind. I mean, the protests that he held earlier in 2017 were with the army's help. But this time, there's going to be more aggression. That is my main worry. And I think that is going to put off a lot of the world which looks at Pakistan.
And Aisha,
Pakistan really has begun to feel like a basket case.
Aisha, we have less than a minute left. I just want to ask you very quickly, how much concern is there in Pakistan right now about how large this constitutional crisis could get?
Well, I think that we are standing at a point at horn of the dilemma where force, which is the army's secret hand, can force something out. I think this is a serious crisis, and we're at a point when there is a resolution because the Supreme Court, through its intervention, something has to be done.
Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Saira Asad, Aisha Siddiqa, and Farahnaz Isbahani. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.